Hello, family of God. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio resuming with you our journey through the book of Acts. In today's passage, the second half of the 11th chapter, there is a lot of coming and going, sending and fetching, returning and migrating. Our author Luke reminds us that back in the 7th chapter, 8 to 10 years earlier, the political and religious tension in Jerusalem had become increasingly dangerous. The Roman army was keeping the Roman version of peace, enforced by heavy taxes, public crucifixions of possible revolutionaries, and enlisting local collaborators. Jewish leaders were working hard to keep the temple operating in the midst of the occupation so that they could continue to practice their faith. So when Stephen engaged his opposition with fiery sermons, accusing temple authorities of betrayal and murder, resulting in being stoned, the tenuous coexistence between various synagogues and sects and religious authorities shattered. Many people left Jerusalem seeking safer places out of the political and religious spotlight of the capital. From Acts 11, verse 19a, "Now those who were scattered as a result of the trouble that occurred because of Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch." In his commentary on Acts, Jordan Cruz names this as a kind of forced migration that peoples have experienced for centuries, fleeing political and religious strife. This resonates, he says, with the experiences of many immigrants, including his own Filipino-Canadian family, who left the Philippines during the period of martial law under the Marcos regime and came to Canada to seek a better life. Indeed, it resonates with many of our stories as colonial and neo-colonial situations continue to lead us or our forebears to migrate. This passage also reminds us of the importance of diaspora communities as a place where the good news spreads, which is the case in many Asian American communities. I appreciate how Cruz reminds us that many of our stories are about our families escaping violence, oppression, and political and religious unrest. I think of my Italian grandfather being sent to America to avoid serving in Mussolini's army. And I know many of you have immigration stories of fleeing Germany and Eastern Europe to escape the Holocaust, of seeking political asylum, and other examples of forced migration. And so as we read of Jewish believers fleeing the political turmoil and colonial violence of Rome in Jerusalem, we are reminded of our own stories, and our own hearts are tuned to the difficulties of refugees and immigrants seeking safety. Cruz also helpfully acknowledges that God can redeem and bring good things out of bad situations, as many diaspora communities experience. In today's passage, visitors to Jerusalem who became followers of the way went back to their places of origin and took the good news of Jesus' resurrection and teachings to their hometowns. There, they not only shared their experience in the synagogues, but also with their Gentile neighbors. From Acts 11, verses 20 through 21, "Among them were some people from Cyprus and Cyrene. They entered Antioch and began to proclaim the good news about the Lord Jesus also to Gentiles. The Lord's power was with them, and a large number came to believe and turn to the Lord." I encourage you to look at a map to see how the island of Cyprus and the cities of Antioch and Tarsus to the north and Cyrene on the north coast of Africa are situated around the Mediterranean. In the midst of a worsening political situation where people are forced out of big cities, there is good news of more people hearing about Jesus, coming to know God and embracing Jesus as Lord rather than Caesar as Lord. This was an unexpected turn of events, a silver lining, a redemption of God shining light even in dark and dangerous times. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard, they sent their trusted envoy, Barnabas, the encourager, to check it out. From Acts 11, verses 22 to 24, when the church in Jerusalem heard about this, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw evidence of God's grace, he was overjoyed and encouraged everyone to remain fully committed to the Lord. Barnabas responded in this way because he was a good man whom the Holy Spirit had endowed with exceptional faith. A considerable number of people were added to the Lord. I wish I could be more like Barnabas. I wish we had more people like Barnabas among us. He is willing to go. He is willing to stay. He observes the evidence and he is overjoyed. Overjoyed. When was the last time we were overjoyed by seeing evidence of God's grace? Not because the world is a safe place or the government is righteous, but in the midst of difficulties and violence, we see and recognize God at work. Why was Barnabas able to respond with joy and encouragement? Luke says that he was both a good man and that the Holy Spirit had endowed him with exceptional faith. We've talked about wanting more of the Holy Spirit. We've prayed for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our fellowship. And like Barnabas, like the church in Antioch, we need the Holy Spirit to give us exceptional faith in order to see God's good works and share in the joy of people to come, coming to know Jesus as Lord. Not America as Lord, or Caesar as King, or capitalism as our Savior. Jesus, the humble teacher, healer, innocent sufferer, and risen Messiah as Lord. I know that I need more of the Holy Spirit in order to be more like Barnabas. That is my prayer for myself and for our fellowship, that we would be encouraged and endowed with exceptional faith in these difficult times. Barnabas also had insight into what the new believers needed. These Gentiles, who had not grown up with the Torah and the prophets, had so much to learn about how to be fully committed to God and to God's anointed one, Jesus. And so he thought of Saul, who had gone back to his home city of Tarsus after the trouble he had got himself into debating in Jerusalem. Saul was not a good fit for Jerusalem politics. He stayed in Tarsus for 7 or more years, lying low and maturing in faith. Saul knew the scriptures and their depths and layers of meanings and was a passionate follower of Jesus as Messiah. Barnabas had vouched for him before. Now he saw that Antioch could be a place where Saul's teaching would be a blessing to the Gentile believers growing in knowledge and faith. Acts 11, verses 25 to 26, Barnabas went to Tarsus in search of Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. They were there for a whole year, meeting with the church and teaching large numbers of people. It was in Antioch where the disciples were first labeled Christians. Antioch was a Greek-speaking city. The word Christ derives from the Greek word Christos, meaning anointed one. This is the Greek version of the Hebrew word for anointed one, Messiah. Whether or not the believers liked or wanted the label of Christian, that's what people started calling them. Their allegiance to Jesus as the anointed one, the Christ, was in contrast to allegiance to Caesar as the self-proclaimed Son of God. This was both a religious and political stand, as perhaps our beliefs must always affect our politics. Who is Lord? Whom do we serve? To whom is our allegiance? Which law do we follow? What happens when being fully committed to Jesus as Lord clashes with our citizenship in any particular country? These are questions with which people of faith have struggled, resisted, celebrated, and died throughout the centuries. And we too are called to be faithful in our own time, to seek insight and encouragement of the Holy Spirit, to remain fully committed, as Barnabas said, to our Lord Jesus. So with that in mind, we will pause here for a prayer from Layman Wiseviz for more of the Holy Spirit, for freedom from fear, for God to work in us through the grace of Jesus our Lord.